You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
The Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Apostles, I should say, is actually what we've been talking about. And if you have a Bible this morning and you are turn to the book of Acts, more than likely you'll see that statement, the Acts of the Apostles, as an introduction to the entire book in Scripture. That's where we're going to be for the next few weeks and where we've been. But let me remind you of something. There's a reason why it's called that. You see, Luke wrote the book of Acts, but as we've discussed, he also wrote another book called the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke. And when he wrote the book of Acts, he reminded them that he had already written this former book. It was a book about all the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. But now he's writing another book. He's authoring this book called Acts. It's also about the things that Jesus both taught and did, but just not in his physical body. Now he's going to talk about things that would be done in his spiritual body, which is the church, which is you, and which is me. We have an opportunity to be empowered with the Holy Spirit to do, even, Jesus said, greater works than he did because of this power. And he made a promise. We talked about this promise in week number one of the series in Acts chapter 1. Jesus was ascending to heaven, and he made a promise to all of those that remained on earth. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to promise you, you won't be alone. And what he meant by that was he was going to leave them the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you'll not be without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus inside of them in the power of the Holy Spirit. He made that promise. I'm asking all of us this week, this year, to believe that promise. That we have within us power that we have already received. Now we need to release that power. Find out how can we impact others individually with the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about that power that was poured out at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It's an amazing chapter in Scripture. So much to be said. I know we had to preach the message online, and prayerfully you saw that. If not, you can go back and stay in step with each message. But we mentioned that Pentecostal power that came. And as that power was released, it resulted in 3,000 people saved and baptized. And by the way, it's fitting that I'm saying that this morning with a baptistry to my left, where we have just witnessed 3 people saved and baptized. Let me say something this morning. If I'm not in a church that is not regularly at some point baptizing people who have received Jesus Christ, then I might be in a church that's not legit. Because I want to tell you something. A church that's really preaching the Word of God in the power of God is going to see lives transformed, people saved, if not our own children, coming to know Jesus Christ, following Him in baptism. That's really what tonight is all about. What Glow Up 501 is all about. Why all the work, the time, the money, the merchandise? Why all of that? So that that young man can get saved from Lake Hamilton and get baptized and have his life transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what this is all about. That's why we need to understand that this word is not just a word that is to be taken casually, but it's a word that can transform our lives. What we see in Acts chapter number 3 and Acts chapter 4, as we combine these two chapters, we see a new word come on the scene. It's a word that will stay with us for the rest of the book of Acts. I could actually preach this sermon within every single chapter of the book of Acts. This sermon you're going to hear this morning, we could have preached it at the end of the series. We could preach it in the beginning of the series. We could preach it in the middle. It doesn't matter, because every chapter in the book of Acts requires the reader to understand that we can be and should be empowered with courage. Now, what is courage? Well, first of all, what is courage? What is courage not? Courage is not a personality trait. Sometimes I think we sort of believe that certain people just have this personality that means They're bold. Oh, let's go get so-and-so. He's just got the right personality to take the stand that we need. And so we go find someone who maybe is a little more outgoing. And somehow we think that courage is something we're born with. Courage is not a personality trait. Courage is not something you're born with. Courage is not something you just try harder to have. Well, I'll just try harder. I'll just be more bold, and I'll figure this thing out, and I'll just try to have courage. No, no, that's not what courage is. Acts chapter 4 teaches us this truth, that courage is not something you store, but it's something you receive. And when God moves publicly, as we're going to see in Acts chapter 3 and 4, when God moves publicly, pressure follows quickly. Just bank on it. Power attracts attention, and attention attracts opposition. It is no wonder that sometimes we feel the pressure here at Gospel Light. Sometimes we feel that the persecution or the attack of others, because I can tell you something, when you stand and preach Jesus with boldness, when you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, pressure's going to come. And it's going to require courage to stand firm in that pressure, in that persecution. This is what happens all throughout the book of Acts. And so today I want to show you how the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers courage. So to set up the message today, I want to go to Acts chapter 3, spend about 5 minutes in total. I want to read you a little story that just kind of sets things up for us to understand. What we see here in Acts 3 is two men, one Peter, one John. They're together because two are better than one. It's always better to have two, three, four, a group, a lighthouse, a spark huddle, a church family. That's why we're here together today, to be encouraged. I don't want to go to Honduras by myself. I want to go with Angelica. I want to go with Freddie. I want to go with Tom. I want to go with Carrie. I want to go with Elijah. Thank you. Hello, Elijah. Yeah, I almost had it all memorized. I did have it memorized. I just put myself on the spot there. I want to go with people. Why? Because, listen, when you have others around you, courage multiplies. That's how courage works. And so Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. They woke up this morning, if I could just say it contextually, just as if it were today. They got a shower. They ate breakfast. They had their coffee. Hallelujah. All godly people drink coffee in the morning. Just kidding. Just kidding. Not scriptural. Just a funny joke. They had their coffee, and they went to the temple to pray. Look at it with me in Acts chapter number 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. That's all they were doing. No plans to do anything else. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day. Oddly enough, this happened every single day. The guy must have had some friends that would take him to the gate of the temple. They would place this man there. He was a beggar. And he would spend all day, every day, because he couldn't walk. He couldn't get anywhere without help. So his friends took him there, placed him. Again, if it were 2026 in Hot Springs, this man this morning would have been on the stairs of the front of the church. And you would see him every time. And you would never ask him to come in. I mean, he doesn't fit, does he? Not like us, right? He's not religious. And in fact, he doesn't have it all together. He wouldn't be on the front steps of that church. And he's begging for money. And we give him 50 cents. And say, hey, dude, hey. I don't tell anybody. Hope it all works out for you. When in fact, somebody should say, hey, even if you give him money, hey, here's a dollar, but come in and sit with me. This dollar I'm giving you is not going to transform your life, but the message that we preach today at Gospel Light, the power of Jesus' name, can transform your life. Amen. And somehow I think that churches have gotten to the place where the lost world doesn't feel welcomed anymore. In fact, we don't feel as if sometimes, and when I say we, please understand, I'm preaching this in message in love, but if we need this to get our attention, may it be so. But I believe sometimes we have gotten engulfed in this religiosity that places people on the outside of the church as just not worthy to be inside the church. And somehow we forgot that we were that at one point. that we were outside, that we weren't here. I think it's just interesting that he was close to God's house, but he never got in. So close, but never got in. Religion had learned to position him, but Jesus had come now to transform him. And Peter heals this man. I don't have time to read the whole chapter because, again, we're moving to Acts 4 to get to the 5 points that I have for you quickly this morning. So Peter heals the man. He does. It's amazing. He heals him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He heals this man who had been on at the gate for years. He's healed. It's amazing. And the Bible says this. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. And Peter said, "Fellow Israelites, why are you so shocked at this? Why are you so amazed?" Because they were. They were like, "Wow, this is incredible. What's going on here? Look at Peter and John and what they did. Why are you so amazed? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness?" Peter then reminds them in verse 16, "It is by faith in his name. His name has made this man strong, whom you see and know." So the faith that comes, here it is, church family, through, can you say it with me if you're a believer? Through? Jesus. Oh, you said it? I'm sure they said it that loud. I'm sure. Come on now. We just said the name of Jesus. Could somebody say it like they believe it? Through?
Jesus.
Thank you. Man, thank you. I think it's okay every now and then to be a little bit fanatical about the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Wasn't that song great? First time I'd heard that song. Man, I'm going to listen to it again and again and again. Through Jesus has given him this perfect health right in front of you all. You know what religion does? All religion does is just manage brokenness. That's all it does. It just manages it. It just gives it money on the church steps. Hey, hope this will help. Hope this gets you through another day. But Jesus restores wholeness. So many people sitting inside this room know what I'm talking about. You're like me. You went to church all your life. I did. I sat in church 6, 7, 8 times a week. I was more religious than the average teenager. I was a church goer. I was a religious person. I dotted I's and crossed T's and was lost and on my way to a burning hell. I didn't know Jesus. I never experienced his power. I just experienced religion. I had no relationship with Jesus. And this is what I'm saying this morning. When the power of the gospel changes your life, you're never the same again. So many of you understand this. Because it wasn't religion that saved you, and you know that. You tried religion, and it came up short. But when the power of God, you experienced in the name of Jesus, the saving power of his name, it changed your life forever. Notice in the text, he names Jesus clearly. Notice he names Jesus publicly. And that's when the trouble starts. It doesn't start until he's willing to say the name of Jesus publicly. I find today that if we're not careful, we'll buy into this user-friendly language that says, hey, don't be too bold about how you talk about Jesus. Just tiptoe through the tulips and try to say it differently. Don't be so plain and simple about how much you love Jesus. Maybe say it a different way. A higher power. Figure another way to say it. Don't offend people. Don't act as if he's the only way. Do you know that churches are buying into that by the hundreds? Whole denominations are saying we should, I mean, literally, denominations that at one time their founders would have preached the name of Jesus now have leaders that are saying, well, maybe that was a little radical. Yes, it is radical. Jesus is the only way. This is what we believe. This is what I must preach because it's in the Bible. And then in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested and they're questioned and they're threatened and they're ordered to keep their mouths shut. I mean, don't say a word. And here's their response in Acts 4:20. They said that we are unable to stop speaking. Sorry. Well, we're going to kill you. Have at it. Here it is, right there. Put it right through me. I can't stop speaking. Well, we're going to put you in jail. All right. Is there anybody in jail? Because I'll talk about Jesus there. This is not possible. You don't understand. What Jesus has done for me, it's impossible for me not to speak about the name of Jesus. Are you reading that like I'm reading that? This is so important. This is what Acts 4 is all about. Acts 4 is not just about opposition. It's about where courage really comes from. Courage comes from the Holy Spirit. Courage must be supplied by the Holy Spirit. You're not born with it. It's given to you on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, by the Holy Spirit. This happens again and again and again and again over your lifetime. And so I want to give you five truths in the text, inside the text. That's what I love about textual preaching, just verse by verse. Inside the text, we're going to find five very specific things that require you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number one, empowered courage is experienced in the moment, meaning when you need it. Meaning it's always right on time. It's not something you manufacture. It's not something you wake up in the morning and drink a cup of courage. It's in the moment. Anybody ever heard the scripture that if you don't know what to say, don't worry. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Anybody ever read that? In the moment. Stay with me here as we dive into this thought. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And they had Peter and John standing before them. So Peter and John are standing before this crowd, and they began to question them. And here was their question: by what power or in what name have you done this? So tell us, how have you done this? They weren't. This is great. Great news. Amazing. The layman, we've seen this man there for all these weeks and months and years. We are just so excited. No, they weren't applauding them. They were arresting them. They were interrogating them. They weren't happy about this. Why? Because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And there's pressure that goes along with that. And right here in Luke, Luke gives us one of the most important phrases in this entire chapter. Look at it with me at verse number 8. It says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, time out. Mark that down. Look at that, because that sounds familiar. Peter was also filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 2 at Pentecost. Peter's filled again in Acts chapter 4. Different filling. Not the same filling. That filling was for Pentecost. This filling is for Acts chapter 4. And this moment in his life, Peter had already been filled once, maybe twice, who knows how many times, but this was a different moment. And before Peter answers, before he speaks, the Spirit fills him for what he would say. Can I tell you this morning that I don't have everything planned I'm going to say this morning? Sometimes I say something different in the second service than I do in the first. Sometimes people will say to me, hey, I didn't hear you say online what you said in the first service, or vice versa. Why? I don't know why. The only answer I have is maybe he didn't want me to say it then. Maybe somebody needed to hear it in that service but didn't need to hear it. I have no idea. I just know this, that I need the Spirit every time I speak. I need the Spirit's filling. God did not expect Peter to rely on yesterday's strengths for today's pressure. That's why we can't recreate Pentecost. This is not about saying, oh, let's have an event just like that. There'll never be an event just like that. But there can be an event tonight where we get together in this auditorium and experience the presence and power and the courage of gospel preaching that results in people getting saved and baptized. Amen. Let's try recreating the past, and let's bring the Holy Spirit into the present today. And here is the truth this moment teaches us, that courage is not stored, courage is supplied. Courage is not something you can store up for a rainy day. Courage is supplied in the moment by the Holy Spirit. This is why we said Peter didn't dig up some personality that he had and said, well, let me just bring up my personality of courage. I was born with this, and so now I'm going to be courageous because this is what I can do in my flesh. No, he tapped into the power source that the religious leaders did not have. And this verse teaches us something vital about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Don't miss this. The Holy Spirit's filling is not a one-time emotional experience. This is where we get deceived sometimes by false teaching about, hey, I didn't see the Holy Spirit in your church because nobody barked like a dog or laughed like a chicken or cackled or fell out or pushed somebody over. We look at the moving of the Holy Spirit based on an emotional experience, but it's not a one-time crusade that we go to and pay money so we can see some sort of outrageous moment of emotional infatuation. No, no. It is repeated, situational empowerment. Doesn't have to happen at a crusade or in a church building. It can happen when you are having a conversation with your son, Dad, where it takes courage to look him in the eyes and say, son, because I love you, I'm going to tell you something. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, you call that son to account. Moms, it's when you have the power of the Holy Spirit to meet with your daughters and teach them according to the scriptures. It's when pastors have the courage to stand up and preach the word of God without any apologies. Amen. It's when we who have a business stand up and require those that work for us to be honest and to work with integrity. It takes courage in those moments to take those stands. In Acts 2, they were filled to proclaim Christ. Yes, but in Acts 4, they were filled to stand under pressure. Same spirit, but a different moment. A fresh filling. This is why I'm asking all of our church family to read the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Because that's what we need. We need, my brothers and sisters, a daily fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit fills believers as often as obedience requires. God doesn't ask you to face pressure with yesterday's strength. He fills you fresh for the moment you're standing in right now. Amen. I had no idea what this morning would look like until I stood up in this pulpit and asked for a fresh anointing from on high. And guess what? I'll be so empty after I'm finished. I'll get me a nap. I'll feel like I'm drained of everything I had to give. You ever heard anybody said, I left it all on the court? You ever heard that in sports? I left it all out there. Yeah. I want to leave it all out on the stage right now. I'm giving you everything I've got. You say, well, what are you going to do next time? I don't know. I'm not sure. I know this. I'll need a fresh filling. I'll need to pull up to the station of the Holy Spirit and get filled up. And that's just symbolically, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen? A fresh filling. Number two, empowered courage is encouraged in community. I love this. Peter and John have just been threatened. They've been commanded to keep silent. They've been warned of the consequences, that if they open their mouth, this would not be good for them. And notice what they do next in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And they were, after they were released, I want you to focus on the three words I have color-coded and capitalized on the screen. Who were they released to? Say it with me, church. Their own people. Their church, their spark huddle, their lighthouse group, their saved friends in the youth group, their own people. And they reported everything the chief priest and elders had said to them. That one sentence means something big time. You say, what does it mean? Well, first of all, it means that they didn't go home alone. Amen? They didn't go and isolate themselves and fear and wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? I'm so thankful today that we have a Forge men's ministry and a Shine women's ministry and other groups in our church. You don't have, and God did not intend you to live the Christian life on your own. We need each other. They did not withdraw or spiritually tough it out. I'll suck it up. Get over it. Get through it on your own. That's not what they did. They went to their people. They refused isolation because fear grows in isolation, but faith grows in relationship. And we need relationships. Courage may begin personally, but courage is sustained relationally. I need you and you need me. We need each other. And if the enemy can isolate you, he can intimidate you. But when believers stand together, courage multiplies. And so Peter and John go to their own people. They're like, oh, am I so glad. I could see Peter and John walking into the room and said, man, am I glad to see you guys. Oh, you have no idea what we've been through out there. They've threatened to kill us, throw us in jail. They told us to shut up. We're so glad to see people that understand what we're going through, that will pray for us, that will support us. Amen. This is what church is all about. And if you're thinking that I'm just some radical pastor, no, I am preaching the Word of God. This is the model of the New Testament church that even Gospel Light at times has left behind in somewhat of a compromise. At times, I've not led you with this much fervor. At times, I've not been this adamant about the fact that we need to be together, serve together, love together, work together, stand up together. Courage for the mission requires community. Courage grows when you stop standing alone and when you start standing together with God's people. Because some battles are just too heavy to carry by yourself. Some are. We need each other. Last night at 6:30 at night, I got a phone call from one of our precious ladies who lives by herself. And she said, my electricity just went out. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I said, well, let me think of somebody that lives by you. I thought, okay. So I called him and he said, yeah, I'll go right over there, preacher. So he goes over and she's got some blown fuses and he doesn't have any way to fix them. So he calls another friend that lives close by that's from our church and he came over and met him there and they both worked on it together. I texted him and said, call me back when you get it done. Make sure we're going to make sure that, because it's going to be cold tonight. Got about 9:30. I got a text message from him. He said, Pastor, lights are back on. We got it all figured out. Hallelujah. I saw this week, I don't know how many of you get the prayer list every week. But God forbid that you press the trash on those prayer requests. Oh, here's another email, trash. Well, excuse me, it was 9 or 10 prayer requests. Some of those people have cancer. Do they matter? I mean, if they're dying of cancer, is it okay that they want you to pray for them? Is that something you're willing to do? Now, I don't have cancer. It's their problem. You're not saying that, I know, but when you trash it, you are. I think of Sharon Pope today. Sharon Pope is, her body has been overtaken by cancer at the moment. Now, Sharon is going to live forever. She's saved. She's been with us almost for 33 years. I married her and her husband. Beautiful couple. And Sharon's suffering through cancer and lots of treatment. And she's got the best attitude I think I've ever seen any cancer patient have. It's unbelievable. But I loved seeing this week a little post that she put on about some friends in her neighborhood that go to our church, Ken and Danielle, and they went over to her house and they brought her some food and some gifts and they just brought some love to Sharon. And she posted that and she just simply said, I'm just thankful for my church family. I think she actually put, my church family is better than yours or something like that. It was cute. But I think what she was simply saying is this, I need you, church. I need to know you're there. I need to know you still think about me. I know I'm not coming anymore. I know I'm in pain. I know I'm sitting in a chair and my body isn't functioning like it normally has or would. But please don't forget me. Please look at that prayer email. Please pray for me. Lift me up. Remember me. I need you. And if our attitude is, well, that's why you get saved. So, you can just be alone and all you have is Jesus. That's not the message of Jesus. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Is that in Scripture? Amen. You say, Pastor, you sure are preaching courageous this morning. It's because I can't hear. And when you can't hear, you don't feel the response of the crowd. So you just keep preaching harder. Oh, God, thank you for this. Amen. I'm blaming it on being deaf this morning. I'm simply saying that empowered courage is encouraged in community. Number three, empowered courage is established in knowing God hasn't lost control. You know what courage is all about? Let me tell you what courage is all about. That God is sovereign. Amen. God is in control. He reigns above it all. There is no panic in heaven. God today is not panicked about the fact that my mother-in-law has some memory issues and some dementia. He's not. Oh, I forgot about Miss Yoshida. I totally forgot about that poor little beautiful widow, 90 years old. I can't keep up with it all. There's too many widows. The world expects so much of me. There's no panic in heaven. God's in control of Miss Yoshida. A few years ago, he knew she needed to be next door to us. So somebody moves out of that house. Wow, what a coincidence. And guess who moves in? My mother-in-law. You know where she needed to be 10 years ago? Right next to us. So she could be taken care of when she needs it. Amen. Come on now. Everybody with me? Everybody okay with this kind of preaching? Is it okay that God knows what you're going through? I don't know that I'm Sharon Pope suffering through cancer in a few years. You say, Pastor, don't speak that over you. No, listen to me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God knows. And so since God knows, God's in control, and I'm going to be okay. Because God reigns above it all. He is in control. He knows each step I take. Notice in Scripture where courage gets its foundation. Look at verse 24. When they heard this, what did they hear? They heard everything that the priest and the elders had said. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God. And here's what they said. Master, you are the one who made the heaven. Master, you are the one who made the earth. Master, you are the one who made the sea. You made everything. Everything. Before they ask for boldness, they anchor themselves in who God is. God is the creator of the universe. Question, if God cares for the sparrow and where it falls, does God care for you and your children? It is not strange that in Scripture, oftentimes, our creator God is found in Scripture as a way to measure the fact that we're going to be taken care of because God created everything. He reigns above it all. He's in total control. And if God created everything, then he can help you in your situation. That is very common in Scripture. He reigns above it all. Courage does not come from safety. Courage comes from sovereignty. Faith does not deny danger. Faith declares who is in control. And when your confidence is anchored in who God is, there is no threat that has the power to shake your obedience. God's in control. He's in control of all things. Empowered courage is experienced in the moment. Empowered courage is encouraged in community. Empowered courage is established in knowing God hasn't lost control. And number four, empowered courage is expressed through bold prayer. This is the heart of the passage. I want you to listen carefully to what they say in verse 29. Look at it on the screen. And now, Lord, consider their threats. Because, Lord, they're saying some really ugly things to us. I mean, these threats are like death, prison. I mean, God, they're serious. This is not pretty, God. Just please consider their threats. And grant that your servants, you're not ready for this. And grant, God, that we will be protected from all harm and that nothing would happen to us and that we would be safe and secure and peaceful and not attacked and not thrown into prison and not killed. In Jesus' name, amen. And grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness. Wow. They acknowledge the threats. They don't deny the danger. They never ask God to remove it. They don't pray for protection. They don't pray for silence. They don't even pray for relief. They pray for one thing. God. God, give us boldness to face the adversity, to face the enemy, to not compromise, to not cower, to live out our faith. I love this. This is so powerful. That prayer should stop us in our tracks. What a mature faith they had. Because Spirit-filled prayer is not comfort-focused. Spirit-filled prayer is obedience-focused. The Spirit doesn't come to comfort us. The Spirit doesn't come to preserve our comfort zones. The Spirit comes to disrupt our comfort zones. The Spirit doesn't come so we'll be comfortable and we'll have it all together and never face any adversity. He doesn't come for those reasons. That's why America has been lulled to sleep in some of these countries experiencing persecution or wide awake, laying their lives down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where we've been lulled to sleep in, and I'm not against big houses and beautiful houses and fancy cars and HVAC and comfort, but we got it so well over here that we forget that there's coming a day when we better be ready to stand, because it's coming. It may not be in your lifetime. I think it will be, personally. I think it'll be in mine, and I'm older than you. May we be bold to stand for Jesus. They're not asking God to make obedience easier. They're asking God to make their obedience stronger. Number five, empowered courage is experienced in the moment, encouraged in community, established in knowing that God hasn't lost control. It's expressed through bold prayer. And finally, and in closing, it's extended by ongoing filling. Because now comes the real pressure. They've prayed for boldness. They've surrendered comfort. They've aligned themselves with God's will. They've done everything that they know to do. And then God answers. And I want you to see his answer in the next verse. Verse 31, last verse I'll read. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God boldly. Time out. Did I just read when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that what you read? Did everybody see the word all? Because a few verses later it said when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just Peter. Just the pastor. Well, I'll tell you, pastor, we've been praying for you. We know you got it tough. You need to have the Holy Spirit. So don't worry. We got you. We're praying for you because, you know, you got to handle all this. This is all yours. This is your church. And you got a lot of people, a lot to worry about. Oh, we hope you can hold up, preacher. Might I suggest you get filled with the Holy Spirit and hang on to some of this stuff too? Help me out. I mean, you know, this is too big for one person. Peter said, oh, I'm so grateful. I was filled. Now the whole church is filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all speaking the word of God boldly. Sometimes I think we don't even realize we're doing this, but we look at people with titles as the only people that can lead someone to Christ or introduce people to the gospel. But who am I? I just attend church there. No, you are no different than the church in the book of Acts. All of them were then filled after they prayed with the Holy Spirit. God filled one man, Peter, to stand, and then he fills the whole church to keep standing. Wow. Man, I love this. And I've learned something in 47 years of being a follower of Jesus Christ. I've learned that courage isn't permanent. It's not. Courage leaks, and I need to be empowered again and again and again with courage. It leaks. I'm empty sometimes. I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't know if I can take another step, and I need the filling of the Holy Spirit to keep going. It doesn't get easier when you get older. I've still got a special needs daughter. I've still got a mom that's in a hospital. I've got a mother-in-law that needs our help all the time. I've got a wife that needs a husband. I've got kids. And it doesn't get easier. You say, well, pastor, how are you doing it? All I know is the Holy Spirit fills me with power from on high. And today I'm with you 100%. Not complaining, not tired, not even weary. I will be this afternoon. If you come by, I'll be sleeping. It'll be about a 40-minute nap, and I'll be so proud of it. So proud of it. Nothing wrong with resting, amen? Hallelujah for rest. But you got to get up. Sometimes I think we emphasize rest too much and we forget there's also something in the Bible that says run. Run for Jesus. And I know we could run when we rest and there's theological, all that stuff, and I'm happy with that. But I think sometimes we need to make sure we're not using rest as an excuse not to run, amen? We need fresh fire. God filled them again and again, so they could continue the mission. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up if they would.
as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. And as we close, I want to bring you, I just want to draw your attention one more time into what Acts 4 teaches us. And I want you to meditate on this week. I want to challenge you to ask yourself or your family or your lighthouse or your spark huddle or some group. I want to challenge you to ask them those questions that I gave you, five questions in your worship guide. But Acts 4 teaches us that the Holy Spirit does not remove opposition. What it teaches us is that he empowers us with courage right in the middle of it. And so the question is, what will we ask God for this morning? Will we ask God to make life easier? Or will we ask him to make us bolder? Will we ask for more comfort or more courage? That's really what it boils down to. What are we going to ask God for? And so this morning, as we approach the Lord's Supper, I think it would be fitting for us, as we prepare our hearts for just about 5 minutes with a song, that we acknowledge that this is a perfect message for this moment. Because what does this juice and what does this bread represent? A courageous Savior who climbed up Calvary's hill and laid down his life for us. What kind of courage is that? It requires for us to consider to have that same courage, to be willing to lay down our lives for him. Even if it means not in death, just in life, just live for him with everything we've got. You see, this bread reminds us that his body was broken so that we could be forgiven. And this cup reminds us that his blood was shed so that we could stand in freedom. And this is why we've been asked by God himself to remember the death of Christ by partaking of these elements as oft as we decide. And we do it 4 times a year. The next time will be Good Friday. What an important Sunday this is. All 5 campuses are taking the Lord's Supper this morning. And so right now, as we approach a time of prayer and preparation, we invite everyone who is a Christian to partake with us. But if you're here this morning and you've been challenged, I want to ask you to come to a defining moment right now. What is your moment that you've been holding back? Is it a conversation you need to have with somebody? It's going to take some courage, and you need the filling of the Holy Spirit to approach that person and have that conversation. Some of us just keep putting that conversation off. We need to be filled with courage. Might it be someone who's been avoiding a stand they need to take? Just, it's a stand. It's something you need to take in your life, in your family. It's just and you need to do it in love, but you need to do it. Take the stand. Is that the moment that God's waiting you to step into? Could it be others that just need courage to keep going because you're just so tired? You're tired of the pressure. You find yourself caving into the weight of all the things that are going. Might it be, God, give me the courage just to keep standing and persevering. Just keep going. And I know how that feels. So I'd like to take just a moment as we prepare to take the elements. And this is what we're going to do. And I always have to give a little instruction because I want everybody to feel comfortable. I really do. And here's how I want you to feel comfortable. We're going to ask the worship team to sing. And while they're singing, I want you to take a few moments in your seats and just examine yourself, pray, step into courage. Ask God, what did he teach you this morning? Prepare your hearts. If there's any unconfessed sin, great time to do it right now. And at some point in the song, if you feel led to stand and worship with us, I'm going to come down and I'll be with my wife and praying, and then I'll stand at some point and worship until the end of the song. And then at the end of the song, I'll come up and give us some quick instructions to take the elements back to our seats. And when we get back to our seats, if you would just hold those elements close, maybe think about the broken body of Jesus, the shed blood, for just a moment, and then I'll lead us in taking the elements together. So let's take a moment. Listen as our worship team leads us in a time of prayer and worship at this moment.